It's all Stan. We'll start off with word of prayer. Brother Stephen, would you open? Amen. So I'll take your hymnal, turn to hymn number 249. Thank you.
pretty accomplished at the piano, but I don't think I'm that accomplished. Man. All right, so campers are vacating the presence here. Rest of you, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 26. Jeremiah, chapter 26. We've got a visitor with us tonight. It's good to have Branson home. Branson, wave at the crowd. All right? So it's good to have Branson back, and he'll be here this summer making tons of money. You still going to be at Home Depot? All right, so he'll be there if you need him. You would, Jeremiah chapter 26, you can follow along. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be that they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them, because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, If ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent before you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, when they came up from the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your own ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now arm your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight and thank you for the opportunity that's ours to come together in this place and to worship you. Lord, we look at the book of Jeremiah, and many times a lot of these books in the Old Testament can seem very daunting and difficult. And yet, God, it's part of your word for a reason. I pray that you would just help us tonight, give us understanding, that we may gain insight from your word here this evening, that it might help challenge us in our walk with you, that we might be faithful to put you first in our lives and our hearts and to serve you. I pray that you would be that this nation that we live in. And God, if there's ever a time that we've needed revival, it's now. And it really needs to start in our hearts. And so, Lord, tonight we open our hearts to you and we pray and ask the Holy Spirit would move in our lives and move us to do more for the cause of Christ than ever before. We love you, and we thank you for the time together here this evening. We ask these things in your blessed, most holy name. Amen. And so tonight, we're going to deal with chapter 26. This is actually three chapters. It's Jeremiah 26, 27, and 28. And it's entitled Jeremiah's Sufferings. And so we're going to do Jeremiah's Sufferings number one tonight, and then we'll pick up the rest of it at a future date. And by the way, next week we'll be at camp, but that doesn't mean that we won't have church, because we will have church. Brother James is going to preach, and so you want to be here. Otherwise, if you're not, he'll think you don't like him. And so we don't want him to get a complex, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So be here, and he'll be preaching the word, and yeah, I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you. So the first thing we see is Jeremiah's suffering. Jeremiah's suffering. We see that he has a twofold warning for the people. First of all, he starts off in verses 1 through 3, and he says, God will deliver us if we repent of our evil deed. And so God has said, look, if you will repent, if you'll turn from your wickedness, from your evil, then God's going to deliver you out of this torment that's going to come your way. The second thing, the second warning was that God will destroy us and the temple if we refuse. So, you know, it's kind of a two-way street here. On one hand, God says, if you'll repent, if you will do what is right, if you'll walk away from evil, I'm going to deliver you. If you choose not to repent, if you choose to continue on your way, then God's going to destroy you and the temple if you refuse to walk with God. And so these are two warnings that God gives in chapter 26, verses 1 through 6. Then we come to verses 7 through 11. And here we see his enemy's wrath. I don't know if you caught it as I was reading through here, but in verse 7 through 11, they mobbed the prophet. They threatened the prophet. They were going to persecute him. They were going to put him to death. It was kind of like, how dare you say these things about us? We're God's people. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're God's people or not. If you're not walking with God, God wants to bring judgment in your life to bring you back to him. He doesn't want to leave you out there in sin. He doesn't want to leave you alone. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about the fact if we are children, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, then he's going to punish us as a father would his son, because we're not bastards, because we are children of God. He wants us to walk with him and to seek him. And so here the enemies, they mobbed him. They didn't want to hear the message. They didn't want to hear the truth. And it kind of reminds me of where our nation is today. Our nation really doesn't want to hear the truth. They want to be able to espouse their views, but boy, they don't want to hear anything contradictory. A good case in point. So I'm on the neighborhood app. I don't know if many of you are or not, but I'm on that neighborhood app. And I find it for entertainment and for some information, but more entertainment than anything else. It's amazing how someone can get on there and make a statement, you know, like the sky is blue. And 50 million people want to get on there and say, it's not blue, it's green. It's not blue, it's yellow. I mean, they just want to fight. They just want to argue. And it's not nice little arguments. I think that people feel like they're veiled. Because it's not face-to-face, people feel like, and this is a problem with social media in general, people feel like they can say whatever they want, that you just have to deal with it. Well, you just have to deal with it. It's your thing. You need to deal with it, which is not true. I mean, the words that come out of a man's mouth or a woman's mouth or out of their fingertips are something that they need to realize, I'm going to give an account for that. I'm going to give an account before God. I'm going to give account many times to those in the community around me. But people don't care, and people don't care about being nice. You know, the Bible talks about as children of God, as Christians, we're to do good works. But it's amazing. I see, I know some people who claim to be religious on that neighborhood app. They'll get on there and, man, they'll just crucify somebody. They're not being good at all. And I'm like, boy, that's counterproductive to what the Bible says you're supposed to do. But yet they claim to be a Christian. And so we've got to understand that people today, they look at us, they watch us, They mobbed the prophets back in Jeremiah's day because he told the truth. And the same thing's going to happen today. The same thing will happen today. He says there in verses 7 through 10, Judah's wicked priests and prophets and other people. And so he's pronouncing a judgment against these wicked people and against their priests and their prophets. And then what they want in verse number 11 is they want his death. And so here are all these quote-unquote leaders, the wicked, evil leaders. And what they want most of all is they want to see Jeremiah put to death. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to relate to the truth. They want it their way. And they just want him to be gone. And so that brings us to our third point tonight. And that's his witnesses. His witnesses, verse 12 through 24, rather lengthy portion of scripture. And then spake Jeremiah unto the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. And so he's putting out his credentials. He's showing, hey, this is not of me. This is of the Lord. This is what God wants you to hear. And yet the people do not receive it as if it's coming from God. They receive it as if it's coming from Jeremiah himself. They go on in verse 13, therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. And for the truth of the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. And so he's trying to point out the importance of the fact that Jeremiah is there to tell the truth. He's not there to tickle ears. He's not there to make people feel good about themselves. He's there just to present the truth. And it kind of reminds me of churches today. There's churches where people go because they want to feel good. Recently on the Neighborhood Network, there was a thing about one church that's playing loud music, and the neighbors are upset about it, and they're trying to get them to tone it down. They won't tone it down, and it's just this big rub back and forth. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, what a horrible testimony for the Lord that you're not seeking to get along with the neighbors in your community. I mean, if it's turning down the volume on that you're cranking out, you know, for your rock and roll concert every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, I think I would be a little upset too. I mean, if I was an ungodly person and I was sleeping in, I'd be a little upset too if I had to listen to all that. But they don't care. They're just going to do it their way, and they're going to do their thing. And it's kind of like the people here with Jeremiah. Jeremiah is trying to tell them, look, this is what you need to do. And they're like, we don't care. We're going to do it our way. We don't care what you say, Jeremiah. We're going to do it our way. And so people today, they're seeking all kinds of churches. They're seeking a place that they can go where they'll leave feeling good about themselves, maybe encouraged to say, hey, see, I'm not so bad after all. I mean, the preacher, you know, he's kind of like us and acts like us and talks like us. And, you know, I just kind of think that this is an okay thing. When the truth of the matter is that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. And we need to just be surrendered unto God leading in our life. So it brings us to another point under his witnesses here, and that is that certain political officials and other people, in verse number 16 in particular, they said, then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. And so there were certain people who stood up and they said, look, he doesn't deserve to die. He's just telling us what God has told him to do. I hope that your desire is to go to a church, and I believe it's your desire because you come here, to go to a church where the truth of the Word of God is preached rather than political statements and rather than making you feel good about yourself. I want to hear what the Lord has to say. I want to hear what God has to say. I know I'm wicked and perverse, and I want to be reminded of that. And I want to have the opportunity to get right and walk with God and serve Him with my life. And then it leads us to verses 17 through 23. There's a number of wise old men, and they point to two historical events that support Jeremiah's ministry. I'm glad for wise old men. Wise old men are good. They're important. They're important. I can remember when I first went to work, it used to be Ed Roberts down on the main drag in Bonner Springs. They positioned me next to an old guy. And that old guy come over one day to my stall where I was working. First day I was there, matter of fact. And he walked with a limp. His name was Leonard. And Leonard come limping over. I had a Chevy pickup with the hood up. And he come over and he goes, "So, you're the new kid, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I'm the new kid." He goes, "So you've been to school, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, I went to school, and Bailey Tech, you know, I was quite proud of the, you know, that I had this training." And he goes, "So how do you adjust the idle on this quadrajet?" I can do it in my sleep now, but then I kind of stammered and stammered along. And he said some words that have been so helpful to me in my life. He said, "Just what I thought, you're a dumb kid." And he turned and walked away. You know, you could get mad about something like that, but I really took it to heart that there's more to learn, okay? Whether it comes to our Bibles, man, I don't think you'll ever grasp the entire Bible. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care when you begin to study it. I think there's always going to be those things. I mean, I've sat in the presence of some great men of God and have them go, "So what do you think?" And I'm like, "What do you mean asking me? Like I know anything. You've forgotten more than I'll ever know." And about certain portions of Scripture, and these men have sought after these answers their entire life and never came up with the answer that they felt comfortable with until they went to be with God. And so I just want to stay as a, if you would, a dumb kid. I want to keep asking questions. I want to keep pushing and looking. I don't want to come to the point and say, "Well, you know, I got all I need of that Bible. I can now miss church. I've got the God thing all taken care of. I'm going to go on with my other part of life," because I don't think we ever arrive at that point. Micah's example is found in verses 17 through 19. When Micah prophesied, the people turned from their sins and worshiped God. What a great example. In verse number 17 there, "Then arose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Morsitis prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain and the house as the high places of the forest." And so Micah's example, he prophesied, and the people turned from their sins and they worshiped God. Uriah's example, here in verse number 20, we read, "And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shimei of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against the city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiachin, the king of all his mighty men, and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan the son of Achbor, and certain men with him unto Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of common people." So Uriah predicts the same type of judgment, but ends up paying for it with his life. Micah is kind of revered. The people turn and they react. And then there's the example of Uriah where the people hear it and they take his life. He dies for the message that he must proclaim. Then we see the royal secretary in verse number 24. "Nevertheless, the hand of Hakaim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death." And so thankful for the royal secretary who said, "No, you're not going to put Jeremiah to death. What he says is of the Lord. He needs to be heard. He needs to be secured. He needs to be protected because his is the truth from the Lord. And so thankful here for the life of Jeremiah and his willingness to stand in the face of adversity, his willingness to speak the truth no matter what it might cost him. And I'm afraid if the Lord tarries his coming, we might be facing days like that even here in America. And so we need to just determine, hey, I'm thankful I got the Word of God. I want to learn it. I want to stand on it. I want to live for God as He would have me to. Lord, we love You tonight and thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for the examples of those given in the Bible. Thank You for Jeremiah's faithfulness and how that he sought to walk with You and know You. And even if he was scared, he still proclaimed the truth of Your Word, and You blessed that and protected him. And I pray that You'd give us wisdom as we labor in this world in which we live. Help us to be wise as serpents when it comes to speaking of You, and give us wisdom and insight. Help us to boldly proclaim the truth of Your Word, that many might come to know You as Savior. Help us not to hold back. Help us not to think that we fear the face of men more than we fear the face of God, Lord. Just give us that peace and that grace. We love You and we thank You for our time together here this evening and time in Your Word. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. If you would stand with me, we're going to have a moment of invitation. 3:16, I've decided to follow Jesus. God's spoken to your heart. Would you come?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The Lord go with me.